bear together concerning the things that are near and dear to us as the children of God. Let me read another portion of Scripture before we have a moment of prayer from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I want to read verses 1 down through verse 18. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart, but have renounced the things hidden because of shame, not walking in craftiness or adulterating the word of God, but by the manifestation of truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled or hidden to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world hath blinded the minds of the unbelieving, so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God, and not from ourselves. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death works in us, but life in you. But having the same spirit of faith according to what is written, I believed, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, so that the grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For the momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal. Let's pause for just a moment of prayer. Father in heaven, we thank and praise you this morning for the opportunity to be together, to sing the hymns and the choruses expressing our faith in Christ, and to have the opportunity to open the Word of God and see the revelation of the person of Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us. So minister to us today, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. What an awesome privilege it is for me to stand before you today. Not only is this the first Sunday of the new year, but this is my spiritual birthday. 61 years ago today, I was born again. On January the 16th, 1952, At the invitation of a young lady who came to work with me in the Loblaw Groceries, just a little girl of 17 years of age, she bore a testimony. She told me what Christ had made, the difference Christ had made in her life. I asked her one day, "Joyce, what is it that's different about you? What do you have that I don't have?" She stopped and she looked me right in the face and she said, "Well, probably the difference between you and me is I have Jesus Christ living within my life. I know that if I were to die tonight, I would go to heaven." And then at her invitation, my fiancé and I attended a gospel service just a week or so later, where we heard the message of redeeming grace, a message from 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2. "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." And that night, the Spirit of God moved upon my heart and upon that of my fiancé. And we responded to the invitation. We got down on our knees and confessed our sin, acknowledged our need of Christ. And in the only way we knew how, we said, "Lord, forgive us our sin. Forgive me for all my sin and come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior." And that night, my life was changed. I became a new creature in Christ Jesus. And I can truly say with the hymn writer, things are different now. Something happened to me since I gave my heart to Jesus. Things are different now. I was changed, it must be, since I gave my life to Him. Things I loved before have passed away. Things I love far more have come to stay since I gave my life to Him. And that was 61 years ago today. And I have never forgotten that moment. I have never forgotten the change that took place in my life. The peace of God that came as I just surrendered my heart and life to Jesus Christ. And as I look down on the congregation this morning, I see young people about the age of that girl that testified to us concerning Christ, that invited us to come out to church, that was concerned enough to invite us to come and hear the message of the Word of God. And you know, even today, on this very first Sunday of the new year, wouldn't it be wonderful if not only the young people, these great good-looking kids that sit in right up near the front of the church, and that's an encouragement. That's an encouragement to any pastor. And to see you folks sitting there and paying attention as the pastor preaches, it's like saying sick 'em to a dog. He just goes right after you. And but wouldn't it be wonderful if not only every person in this row of young people, these two rows of young people, but every person in this congregation would commit themselves to seeking out someone this week to whom they can share their testimony concerning Jesus Christ. And wouldn't it be wonderful if every person in this congregation this morning, on this first day of the new year, would recommit their lives to Jesus Christ and say, "Lord, here I am. You know my life. You know my talents. You know my abilities and my inabilities. But I can invite someone to come into this church and then pray that that person will hear the living word of God and surrender their life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Wouldn't it be an amazing thing if next Sunday morning this congregation were doubled? And you know, that could happen if each person here just brought one other person. If each family here would just invite one other family to come and join us in this place to sing the praises of God and to worship our great Lord. And then to pray and to watch God work in their personal lives, bringing them under conviction of sin, and then eventually to the wonderful praise and glory and release that comes with sins forgiven and the knowledge that they're on their way to glory. You see, a church doesn't exist simply through the ministry of the pastor. If I were to ask you today, who is the minister of this church? Probably a lot of people would say, well, Pastor Jim is the minister. And then, of course, there's Pastor Greg. You know, they are the pastors. But each person here who knows Jesus Christ as their Savior is called to be a minister. A minister of the reconciling grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. On the front of the bulletin, you will notice the theme, the motto of this church, the purpose statement, exalting Christ and loving people. Let me ask you, are you a part of fulfilling that motto and expressing it in every way you know how? Not only to others within the congregation, but to the world around you, to your neighbors, to the people who come here. I noticed this morning that there's a seat down here where a little boy named Peter used to sit. We noticed him several times when we were here. A good-looking young kid. And he'd come down that aisle, usually come in a little bit late. And he'd sit in there in about the third or fourth pew. And he'd sit in there and he would pay attention. And we would watch him as he listened intently to the Word of God. I've noticed the last few Sundays that we've been here that Peter isn't there. I wonder, have you been praying for Peter? And for other little Peters or Johnnies or Marys that come into this congregation, that little boy would come in and he'd sit there all alone. He'd listen. And then he'd go out. Did anyone ever take that little boy aside and say, Peter, do you know that the Lord Jesus Christ loves you? Do you know that if you give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ, He will give you a sense of the peace and the joy. He'll give you a purpose for living. You know, there are lots of little Peters. And it's not just the pastor. It's not just Pastor Greg or Pastor Jim that has that responsibility. The most effective witness in a congregation is the witness of loving people who will take the Word of God and put it into practice in their lives and in the love of Christ reach out and put their arms around little kids and old men and old women and strangers that walk in those doors. And pray for them and invite them to their home and get to know them and minister to them. Exalting Christ and loving people. That's a great model. A noble purpose. It's the heart and the soul of the great commission the Lord Jesus Christ gave to the church. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, making disciples from among all nations, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always. That's exalting Christ and loving people. And that's the ministry that God has given, not only to this church as an organization. That's the ministry that God has given to each and every one of us. Reconciling the world to himself through Christ. He has committed to us the ministry, the message of reconciliation. Paul says, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, beseeching men, pleading with men, on behalf of Christ, be ye reconciled to God. You know something? That was the ministry of the Apostle Paul while he was here on earth. That was the ministry of the early church. That was their mission. They went everywhere gossiping the gospel. They went into the highways and byways. They went into homes and they went into the marketplaces. And they gossiped the gospel. They told men and women and boys and girls about the love of God. That was the ministry of the Apostle Paul, exalting Christ and loving people, pleading with sinners on behalf of Christ to be reconciled with God. And you know that, above all else, is our ministry and should be our highest priority. Not only as a church, but as individuals seeking to carry out the will of God. Well, I've got carried away here. I trust that God can just use us through this year for the praise and glory of God. Our text, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and I'm going to just have to touch on the highlights this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 1 says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart, but have renounced the hidden things because of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor adulterating the word of God, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Paul says, seeing we have this ministry. Let me suggest to you that the ministry that God has committed to us is a unique ministry. The terminology of Scripture is very significant. Very important. And in this verse, the Apostle Paul is very specific with a deliberate emphasis on two words. We have this ministry. The word this indicates something that is specific, unique, distinct, something that is one of a kind. And ministry in this context is the unique and privileged task of sharing the good news of the gospel with our generation. It's this ministry, this unique purpose for which God has left the church in this world. Like the church at Corinth, at the center of Greek culture and superstition and mysticism, the important thing about Alta Vista Baptist Church is this. We have a unique ministry. Here we are in Canada's national capital. at this point in history, by God's appointment, as Mordecai said to Esther, who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? We have a unique ministry. You see, our ministry is not a building here on Canterbury Avenue. It's not location, it's not organization, it's not the charisma of the pastor. It's not the great abilities of our musicians. It's not favorable circumstances that really count. It's this unique ministry of bringing Christ to our community. Let me emphasize this morning that our ministry is unique. And there's no other task in all the world that compares with the ministry that God has committed unto us, the ministry of the gospel. It's a unique ministry. I had a friend who loved to talk about his experience of driving back into the hills of Kentucky on his very first trip to that great state. And I remember him telling how as they drove along the winding roads, they started coming to these signs along the road. You remember probably the old Burma Shave signs that we used to see as we drove through the states. But he said that as they drove along, they would see these signs that captured their attention. The place to buy food and drinks 6 miles ahead. Go along a little farther. The place to buy all your camping supplies. A little further on, the place to buy gopher traps. The place to buy Kentucky moonshine. And so forth. Every little ways along the way, they would see these signs indicating that something ahead was very important. And as they were driving along, suddenly they came around a little bend in the road, and there in an opening, there was this huge building. And on the side of the building, there was this sign, "The place." And then underneath it, it said, "There's no place like this place. Anywhere near this place, this is the place." It was unique. And my friend said it was something that was an experience. That place, that store, a great general store, sold everything from horseshoes to hair curlers. You could go in there and buy a harness for your mule or a corset for your wife. They had everything there. In fact, he said that there was one sign on the wall that said, "We have what you need. And if we don't have it, you probably don't need it." It was a unique place, a unique experience. And what the Apostle Paul is telling us here is that the ministry we have is a unique ministry. And we are here by the appointment of God in the midst of this great city. And God in His grace and sovereignty has brought the mission fields of the world to our doorstep. And we go out and walk around this community and we find that within blocks of this community there are hundreds of homes. And there are people there of every nation and tribe and language that have been brought to our doorstep. And many of those people within 2 miles of this church in any direction are there, and they never darken the door of a church. But more importantly, many of them, the vast majority of them, have never once heard a presentation of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Many of them do not know that before God they're sinners and they need to repent. Many of them have never heard that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Many of them have never sat down with anyone who explained from the Word of God how a sinner, no matter how vile he may be, can open his heart and life and invite Jesus Christ to come in and know the freedom of sins forgiven and a life that is changed. Friends, we have a unique ministry. It's one of a kind. We preach a unique gospel. You see, there's no other gospel in all the world that is like this gospel. There's no other religion that brings men and women to the point of conversion, where accepting Jesus Christ, the one and only Savior who died on the cross bearing our sins, can come into their life and give them peace and forgiveness and hope and expectation. And if they will just come to him, respond to him. But as the scripture says, how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they hear? And how shall they go unless they be sent? Friends, Jesus Christ has sent us into the world. We have a unique message for every person in this community. We preach the gospel of the unique Christ. The one who is unique in his divine nature, unique in his virgin birth, unique in his vicarious death, unique in his glorious resurrection, unique in his unfailing promises, and unique in his free offer of salvation to all who will come and put their faith and trust in him. He is the one whom we preach. We have a unique ministry. Well, I see my time is gone, so let me just give you the outline of what I intended to say. We have not only a unique ministry, we have an unmerited ministry, because we have received grace. We have been brought to this place, brought into a relationship with Christ, not because of anything that we have done, but we have received Christ, the gift of salvation, the gift of everlasting life through him. It's an unmerited, undeserved ministry. It's an untiring ministry. We do not lose heart. As one version puts it, we don't cave in and we don't give up. It's an uncompromising ministry. We don't use the methods of the world to trick people into some kind of a religious faith. We don't promise that if you put your faith and trust in Christ or become a part of Alta Vista Baptist Church, that you will have wealth and health and you'll be free of all problems. We are not compromising the gospel in that way. It's an urgent ministry. Because as the scripture says here, if our gospel be hid, if it's veiled, if it's concealed, if it's held back from a world that is in need, it is held back from a world that is in need, a world that is lost. It's held back from those who are perishing. And friends, I wonder today if we really believe that truth, that all who are outside of Jesus Christ, your friends, your neighbors, your loved ones, if they do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, they are lost. They're not just unfortunate. It's not just that they're not experiencing the blessings that we're receiving now in this life. They are lost for all eternity.
Because the Bible says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Unless a person comes to that place where he repents of sin and accepts Jesus Christ as their Savior, they're on their way to a lost eternity. It seems to me the church today has lost sight of that awesome truth that the world is lost in sin. Jesus Christ came to seek and to save not just those who were disadvantaged. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And friends, then when we get a vision of that and realize that every person in this community who does not know Jesus Christ as Savior, when that trumpet sounds and Jesus Christ descends from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ are raised, and then those who are alive and remain as believers will be caught up together with him in the air. They are lost. And we seldom read those portions about the weeping and the wailing and the gnashing of teeth of those who will stand one day before Almighty God and give an account, lost and in their sins. It's an urgent message. Except we tell them, how will they know? It's an urgent message. And it's an unselfish message. It's not about us. As Paul says, we preach not ourselves. And we don't preach the glory of Alta Vista Baptist Church or the Baptist denomination. We preach Christ, crucified, risen, and coming again. And yes, it's an unpopular message. We go into the world, and if you go to the doors in this community, there'll probably be some who will slam the door and say, no, I'm not interested. It's an unpopular ministry. Jesus Christ came unto his own. And what's the scripture say? He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God, even to those who believe on his name. And friends, this is the message. This is the ministry that God has committed unto us. To me, as an individual, not because I'm a pastor, but he committed it to me as a saved sinner. He committed it to me to pass on to others. And it is my responsibility as a person who knows Christ as Savior to share that message with the world. And friends, today on the very first Sunday of this new year, as you make your plans and you make your you've probably already made all your resolutions, and probably by now you've already broken some of them concerning diet and exercise and so many other things. But I hope some here this morning have made a resolution. They'll be in church, worshiping with God's people every Lord's Day. That they will read the Bible. And they will pray, not just in church, but every day, that their lives will be enriched by the Word of God and fellowship with Jesus Christ. And I trust there are many who, making their resolution, said, in this year before me, I will stand for Christ. I'll let my light shine. I won't hide it under a bushel. I'll let my light shine. I will tell others about Jesus Christ. And you know, of every person here this morning, we're to make that resolution. And even to say, by the grace of God, I vow to attempt to reach at least one person for Jesus Christ in this year, 2013. Encourage them to come into the fellowship of the church. Pray for them. Befriend them. This church could be transformed. And this time next year, it could be bulging at the seams with new Christians, young believers, excited about Christ, enthusiastic about singing and praising God. And serving Him. And reaching out into this community in a way that we've never seen before. God bless you, my friends. I'm just one of you. Just a sinner saved by grace. And oh, I thank God for that little girl. I'd like to get in contact with her someday. And remind her. That because she cared, because she shared her testimony with me, because she was concerned enough to invite me to attend a church service and hear the gospel, I became a new creature in Christ. And I've had the joy of serving God 61 years. Dear Heavenly Father, brood over this congregation this morning, we pray. May some word, some verse of Scripture, some challenge touch the heart and life of individuals here this morning. Those who are alive and on fire for God, oh God, increase the fire. Increase the vision. Increase the intensity of our service for you. And through this year, may we truly serve God with our whole heart for the glory and the praise of your name. We ask in Jesus' name.